Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Guess what, folks? It is time for another episode of The Entrepreneurial You podcast, and I am your host and creator, Henneka Watkus Porter. Now I want to welcome especially my viewing audience, special welcome to you if you are tuning in for the very first time. Over the past few weeks, I've had conversations surrounding design-centered entrepreneurship, running a fulfillment center in China, leveraging private equity to build a winning global team, a winning global business rather, becoming the complete man, and so much more. This week, I'm excited about talking with a teenager who is already making waves in his attempt to solve the problem of hunger through his charitable organization. But before I bring him in, of course, I want to thank the Jamaica Stock Exchange, who has continually supported the work of the Entrepreneurial You. And here is a word from our sponsor. And after that, you'll get to hear a little bit more about my guest for today.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing? Or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
So my guest on episode 306 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast is Camden Francis. Camden is an 18-year-old entrepreneur at heart who founded a 501c3 nonprofit organization called Beyond the Crisis. Camden is currently working on a tech startup with a friend from Harvard. Already a talented public speaker, he has spoken on the Drew Barrymore talk show about his nonprofit and been on Bloomberg's radio podcast and other podcasts, including NPR's All Things Considered. And he's also been in a couple of NPR other productions as well. Welcome, welcome, Camden. It's so good to have you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So welcome, as I said before, but before I get into the meat of the matter and all the lovely stuff that you're doing, and I'm so proud of you, I want to hear from you. What, if anything, do you know about the Jamaican culture?
Yeah. So actually, my grandmother, she loves reggae. So that's always kind of a big part. Like when I spend time with her, we listen to like reggae music and stuff like that. And like her father, like really kind of embrace that culture and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But they're not Jamaicans, are they?
My dad, his father on his side of the family, he's from like a West Caribbean island.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's, I don't think that's Jamaica necessarily.
Okay. But from the Caribbean, then I'm going to, you know, just accept it and say, yeah, very near cousins. All right. So reggae music, huh? Explain to my listeners and viewers, what is a 501c3 charitable organization?
Yeah. So for anybody who wants to kind of learn about a nonprofit organization, or you're in high school and you're looking to maybe be a part of one, or you're looking to build up your resume, do another extracurricular activity, maybe for college students even too, 501c3 is just a certification for a nonprofit that allows you to kind of get more donations, to receive more donations, because it allows you to kind of exempt yourself from some taxes that, yeah, that can take from your organization's ability to donate.
Right. Awesome. So Camden, when your team, when you reached out to me, I was so impressed looking at, you know, it says you and your brother are doing this nonprofit and you're on this quest to stop hunger and all of that good stuff. And I was extremely proud to see a young person taking on this venture.
Thank you.
I am so big on giving back, and because I believe that to whom much is given, much is expected. And as a result of that, you have been given much, obviously, and you're giving back, and your nonprofit is Beyond the Crisis. So tell me a little bit about Beyond the Crisis and how did it get started and why?
Yeah, so we were established in 2020, and this is at like during the height of the pandemic when there was a lot of uncertainty around and there was a lot of stress. People were kind of removed from school. There was a lot of isolation and it was just an unhappy time for most. And my brother and I, being 16 and 14 at the time, we knew that we weren't going to be the ones to, you know, come up with the vaccine or even find a cure or stuff, but we wanted to do something. We wanted to take small steps in order to help our community. And that turned into like an idea. And that idea led us to establish Beyond the Crisis, which is a food distribution charity to kind of help the greater community by distributing goods from point A to point B to help underserved families and just to build hope and optimism during the kind of pandemic time.
You're distributing food. Where were you getting this food from?
Yeah, great question. So in building this organization, there was a lot to think about. How are we going to receive food? How are we going to fundraise? How are we going to get people around the idea? How are we going to make a community impact? And those are all things that my brother and I thought about. So the first thing we did was we got a mentorship. We reached out to Kathleen Walsh. She was the president and CEO of the YMCA in the Metro North region. And because we were bootstrapped, which means we were almost self-funded, as teenagers, we obviously don't have too many resources. So we had to think about how we can kind of avoid certain pitfalls that might make it hard for us to get started. But today kind of we're off the ground. And after we were off the ground, we received kind of fundraising. So we have a trustee board who kind of are our main donors. They're how we kind of get a lot of the money to run this organization and purchase the food that we need to kind of run operations here at Beyond the Crisis.
And how do you determine who gets what? I know you said underserved families. First of all, what do you mean by underserved families? And how do you decide who gets what? I mean, there's scarcity, right?
Yeah, that's another great question. We really are an organization that wants to establish a long-lasting legacy of giving. And what that means is we want to be around for a long time and make a community-wide impact. So one of the ways that we did this is by joining networks of large nonprofit organizations that kind of have a surplus. When there's a surplus of food or there's a surplus overload, we can kind of reach out to our partners and they can reach out to us, right? So we can help a greater number of individuals. And one of our partners to date is the Catholic Charities of Boston, and they're one of the largest nonprofit organizations in the Massachusetts area. So they're a really great partner to have. And they really gave us a great backboard to launch our organization.
And so in launching, right, you still have to determine, because I suppose you can't get to everybody. So how do you like identify, this is who I'm going to target? We have 1,000 people that need what we're doing, need our packages and so on, but we can only select 100. How do you go about making that selection?
Yeah, what we do is we fill out kind of surveys. We have surveys for people to fill out. On our website, there's like a food, hunger, and request form. And how our organization works is people really contact us. And based on our inventory, based on the amount of food that we have, we kind of distribute that first to our partner organizations and then to like any food pantries and food banks that kind of need help. But our organization really specializes in helping housing communities and homeless shelters. But we can only kind of help as many people as the donations we receive.
Absolutely. Take me back to, how did you come up with that name, Beyond the Crisis? It sounds so good.
So Beyond the Crisis, what that's about is really kind of going beyond the pandemic. There's like a lot of kind of challenges and adversity that we face every day as Americans. And we really wanted to kind of come up with a name that really inspires people to kind of go beyond themselves and kind of really help their community and really kind of look forward, go on looking, don't kind of sit in the past and really kind of progress and be resilient and patient. And that's really kind of what Beyond the Crisis means to us and to our partners and trustees.
All right. Tell us about working with your brother on this project.
It was a great process. I'm the older brother, so I wanted to be a mentor to my younger brother, Colton. And we kind of learned a lot in the process. Whenever you're doing something entrepreneurial, you don't always know if it's going to work. There's a lot of uncertainty. But we're super fortunate to kind of have this organization off the ground and just make the impact that we are making today. And we're just really trying to stay present and focused and in the moment. And yeah, it's just super meaningful to be in the position I am right now.
Absolutely. And talk about impact. What has been your reach? Paint a picture of your reach thus far, Camden.
Yeah. So since our founding, we've been doing quite well. We've distributed over $100,000 worth of food items to a variety. Yeah, I know. Big deal. To a variety, right, of housing communities, homeless shelters across the state of Massachusetts. So very exciting. And we look to kind of do more. We look to kind of keep going. And who knows, this organization hopefully will be around for years and years to come.
And it's called Beyond the Crisis now. Any thought about it going beyond the borders of the United States?
We're not yet there yet, but we definitely are engaged every day in kind of looking at ways to expand, to grow, to expand our network, to expand our outreach, to continue to do podcasts like these, to inspire others and things like that. But who knows? That's certainly on the radar, but not right now. Just trying to stay present and focused.
Absolutely. You talk about impact and I think about global impact, you know. All right. So you've mentioned a few things earlier, Camden. You know, for those who are listening keenly can pick out some salient points. You talk about it little by little when you were getting started. You talk about mentorship, you know, having a mentor through the YMCA work with you. You've joined networks and so on, you know, form partnerships and so on. Just in the initial stage, a youngster, a teenager, you were 16 at the time when you started this with your brother being 14.
He was 12 at the time.
Right. You were 14. So
it's almost
you were 16 and he was 12. Exactly. And, you know, did you go to your parents? Just kind of bring us as a fly on the wall and tell us how did you, you know, you go to your parents and say, hey, mom, dad, this is what I want to do. Or no, take us through the process.
Yeah. So my dad, he's an entrepreneur himself and he's the founder of an energy company. But my dad is big into entrepreneurship, but he's a coach, right? He's like, you have to kind of be a player. You have to experience this for yourself. I'm not going to self-fund you. You have to kind of bootstrap and do it yourself because that way you learn. You kind of make mistakes. And without the mistakes, right, I also wouldn't be here today because I wouldn't have the knowledge that I do now about entrepreneurship in general. So I'm super thankful to have somebody in my family who's an experienced entrepreneur himself and who can kind of give me advice and feedback and pointers.
Okay, great. And you have that. And then you went out to the very first person. I'm just trying to see, to build on the little by little, right? So you went to that first organization person. Take us through what that was like and how did you get the buy-in initially?
Yeah. So our first donor was obviously my mentor. She kind of gave the first donation. Mm-hmm. And with that donation, we kind of continued to fundraise. At first, we did crowdfunding, which we kind of used email marketing. We used Campaign Monitor, which is a marketing platform, not sponsored, that kind of allows people and companies to reach a variety, a large audience of people with an idea. And that way we can gain volunteers, possible interns, trustees, partners, you name it. So after the crowdfunding, then we kind of grew our network. Who are local kind of congressmen we can reach out to, local mayors, local governors. And we, after that, we received a donation from Jim McGovern, which is kind of the chairman on food, hunger, insecurity, and health in the United States and even globally. So he's a big deal. And he's one of our most strategic donors to date. But he gave almost like the second donation. And after those two donations, we kind of had a little bit of kind of resources to get started and kind of continue working. After that, we kind of built our network. We reached out to organizations that maybe needed help, that needed partners and needed food readily. And through them, we kind of continued to reach out back and forth. After that, we kind of reached out to kind of various social media platforms. We began doing podcasts. We began doing a few kind of, we were in a few newspapers, and that led to talk shows and stuff like that. And through that, people like saw the organization, they see what we have done, and they kind of donate or they offer to be on the mailing list or become volunteers. And through that, we kind of engage our community. But it's important to get your community behind an initiative or an idea and see, kind of throw it out there, see what people's responses are, because if the responses aren't great, then there's good likelihood that you might need to change. You might need to do something different or improve, because without improving, it's hard to kind of stay relevant.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Give us a sense of what's the value of your packages, and is it standard or it depends on the family that you're reaching out to?
So what we do is we kind of, for some organizations, we give input, like, what do you guys need? What non-perishable items can benefit your housing community or homeless shelter? Then we have a forum on our website that allows families to request certain items, like specific items that we can reach out to our partners. We have great sponsors and they can kind of get families whatever they need. And through that, we kind of have additional surveys that could be of use for families, but we really kind of want to benefit the families that we help. And we do a lot of outreach to families asking kind of what they need, what they can benefit, because we know it's a challenging time and we really want to kind of uplift our community and help others. That's really why we do it. That's why we're here.
Right, right. So you're running a tech startup now.
I am.
Yes, yeah. You are a full-fledged entrepreneur. Talk to me about that. What is it about?
So we know that a lot of kind of platforms right now, they don't do too much regarding their, they allow people to grow their network. They allow people to make connections, but they don't allow people to further themselves or kind of like do e-commerce or drop shipping and learn how to get LLC certifications or stuff like that. But we're launching an app that uses kind of algorithms to have people kind of ask questions to see kind of what they want to do, what they want to achieve. And this app, this platform will allow them to kind of be a coach in the process of whatever they want to achieve. And there's a lot of technology today, such as kind of chat GPT, that allows people to ask questions and receive kind of informative feedback on whatever they kind of want to do, want to learn, or want to study. So this app that we're launching kind of uses certain algorithms to allow people to further their goals, grow their network, and kind of achieve whatever they want to do ambitiously. But this is still kind of under development, and we're still kind of in the process of ideation. So although we have some patents and our LLC certification, we are still kind of in the process here. And I can't disclose too much. So I gave a little bit of a vague answer, but you'll hear from me soon about the app. It's called Circles.
Circles, right. I was about to ask, you know, and if it's in beta stage, but obviously it's still in ideation. So we can't wait to hear when you launch. And hopefully the business, the tech business, will be supporting, be able to support the your nonprofit, you know, beyond the crisis. And so you've come full circle. You kind of started backwards, because many people, they start with their entrepreneurial venture first, although, exactly. And running a nonprofit is really entrepreneurship, but, you know,
yes.
But in the strictest sense, many people, they start with their entrepreneurial venture, and then they have a cause that is aligned to that venture.
And I sorry to interrupt, I actually did that on purpose, right? Yeah. Because in order to grow your network, to grow your platform, most people, in my opinion, kind of do it a little differently. But I wanted to give back to my community, to get people around my idea, to get people to like network with my team, to kind of know my platform, to know why I'm here, to kind of know my morals at heart before I go out and launch an entrepreneurial money-making endeavor. I wanted to first give back to my community, to launch a successful nonprofit, to kind of help people first before I kind of go on my way. But I'm only 19, so we have so much time.
Oh, you just turned 19, right?
I just turned 19.
Ah, but yeah, I mean, you're still young. You're under 20. and you have accomplished a lot. Your heart is there. And you talk about, I think what you're alluding to in all of that is your purpose, right? So I'm putting it in one word for you. And what do you define your purpose to be as it is known, as you understand purpose?
I really kind of want to be a name eventually that people can kind of reach out to, ask questions. And I want to do kind of more podcasts to expand, to talk with people. I'm the kind of guy who wants people to just reach out. I want to listen to your ideas. I want to hear your successes also. I'm very young, so I'm not kind of at that point yet. But eventually, I kind of just want to network with a wide variety of people. And that's also kind of why we're launching this tech startup. To, as a young founder, I understand the importance of networking. And I'm also on social media, but I feel like some of the social media apps are just, people waste a lot of time. So we want to make a useful social media app, something that people can really gain information from to further themselves, to grow their network, to grow their profiles, platform, and even ambition. So that's kind of what I want to do next. But I just want to be the guy that is sociable, people can talk to, bounce ideas off of. I love to ideate. It's a little bit about me.
If you are supposed to define your purpose in one word, just one word, what would that word be?
I would say resilient. Through entrepreneurship and in general, I definitely had my fair share of adversity. So I would say one of my best qualities is the ability to bounce back, to encounter failure, to know when to walk away from a situation or problem. If like an organization, an entrepreneurial endeavor isn't working, maybe it's time to take a step back, to reassess, to maybe know when to reevaluate, or even kind of walk away completely. That's kind of always something that comes into play when you're launching something, but resilience.
So the last time I was 19, it's a long time ago. So I can't relate to what are some of the challenges a 19-year-old would have as it relates to entrepreneurship. So do shed some light.
As a 19-year-old, one of the major challenges that I face, and a lot of other teenagers in my network, some big names right now, Jack Bloomfield, there's a variety of kids who are doing great things. It's really kind of not being taken seriously. When I was first launching Beyond the Crisis, I was sending hundreds of emails a day, and they were getting bounced back, rescinded, declined, unanswered, opened. And that was very challenging, right? But you really have to stick with it. And I did that, and it kind of shows. And I'm super kind of fortunate to kind of have the quality to kind of, and the persona to do that, and to kind of keep my brother in it, to keep our heads in it, to stay motivated. And that's kind of the hardest thing that a lot of young entrepreneurs face. And I could attest to that.
And why did you not give up, Camden?
At first, right? We didn't really know if the organization was going to work out. We didn't kind of get too much feedback from the community. And it was almost like a quiet period. It was mellow. I was like for 10 hours a day, grinding, working hard. And there wasn't kind of much to it. It was almost very slow. It wasn't as exciting. It wasn't what you see kind of on social media, online, in the movies. It wasn't like that. It was a grind. It was a lot of hard work. There was a lot going on. But when things started to take off, there was a pivot, a turning point. And our turning point was when we were invited to speak on the Drew Barrymore Show. That was our main major turning point.
What was that feedback like, that response? You get on this huge show and now suddenly perhaps some of those emails that went unanswered, I don't know, maybe answers came in. But what was that experience like for you? That's your first big break as it relates to, you know, media taking you seriously.
In the heat of the moment of it, it was almost kind of, I was pinching myself, like, am I really doing this?
Is it real?
Exactly. There were so many big names. My idol, kind of Mark Cuban, he was, I think, on the show. Fact check me if I'm wrong. But there's a lot of kind of really great people, whether they're, and in their field, they're luminaries, they're greats. And it was very humbling to be so young and kind of look up to all of these role models of mine. And doing the show, people were, it was live for part of it. People were actually watching you and there was cameras and it was almost surreal. That's really how I would describe it.
Lights everywhere, cameras everywhere, and action is going on. Lights, camera, action. Okay. All right. So you talk about, of course, you know, the youthful aspect of it and stuff. So a young person is listening in right now or watching and thinking to themselves, you know, I want to do something really big in this world, but in a world of over 7 billion people, I'm just one person. I can't make an impact. And they're feeling daunted by that and feeling fear, trepidation of moving forward, what's the advice, the one piece of advice that you would give to that person?
I would say find out ways to network with others to first be relevant in your circle. How are you interacting with people? Ask yourself these questions. Are you kind of being of value? Because what I've found, and this is personally for me, is if you help people, people are 10 times more likely to help you.
That's true. It's not just for you. It's for everybody.
It wouldn't be without kind of the help that I've received from so many of my mentors, so many of my role models that I'm kind of here today doing these podcasts. I have a platform behind me. I have a team behind me, supportive family that always helps. But just kind of be a resource to others and slowly grow your own platform. That's a very important thing. Like outreach to certain organizations, maybe hop on a podcast, find a niche, find a hobby. What are you interested in? What are you passionate in? And stick with it and see where it goes.
Stick with it and see where it goes. Having the community behind you, so many gems that you have left with us. And I'm going to ask you at this point, Camden, to just share with us how might persons find out more about Beyond the Crisis and even personally as to what Camden Francis is up to.
Yeah, so visit our website, www.beyondthecrisis.org. There's so many resources on there. On the website, you can contact us via email. You can contact us via phone. Our number is 617-380-7575. So there's so much information on there. And if you're interested in maybe being a volunteer, in learning more about what we do, it's all on our website.
Fantastic, fantastic. What a pleasure it has been for me speaking with you, Camden Francis. And we've established that Camden is now a 19-year-old entrepreneur at heart, and he's an entrepreneur. And he founded the 501c3 nonprofit organization called Beyond the Crisis. Now he's working on a tech startup with a friend from Harvard, and that's big stuff. He's been doing some public speaking. He's been on the Drew Barrymore show, that talk show, Bloomberg's radio podcast, NPR's podcasts, and just so much more. He's one of those persons that is right about the world, and he is doing his part along with his brother and team, doing their part to ensure that they leave the world a better place than they would have found it. And that, I believe, is the crux of the matter for all humanity, is that we leave the world a better place than how we found it. You know, we just can't be all takers, you know, just come and you take and you move on in terms of when you depart this life. But it's important that you leave the environment, you leave the place better, you make your contribution to the world at large. And you don't think that you have to start at just this major thing. Just start with one little thing, because the value over and over on this show, we've seen where our guests have demonstrated that the principle of little by little works. You know, you don't try to chop the tree down all at once. You just go at it little by little. So again, thank you so much, Camden. I look forward to learning more about what you're up to.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, and please give my regards to your brother and your team. I'm enthralled by what you guys are doing. I really am. And it touched my heart. I mean, this is at the heart of the show is entrepreneurship. So it's not necessarily focused on nonprofit and stuff. But what I did see when you wrote in, when, you know, your team wrote in, that this stood out to me because I was impressed. You know, a lot of people were going on about what's wrong with the world and the pandemic and, oh my gosh, the world is ending. But here is somebody who is looking for solutions. So for me, that was big, and it's from a young person, even bigger. So thank you again. And thank you, my peak performers, for tuning in to this episode with Camden Francis. Has Camden left any gem with you? He sure has left a lot of gems with me, and, you know, just a lot of points to ponder and food for thought, and just to think about, mull over, and to even ask myself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now in terms of my contribution to the world at large? How am I making a difference, you know? Am I just here as a taker, or am I a giver? That's absolutely the crux of the matter. We should, may those who come behind us find us faithful, faithful in our call, faithful in our call to humanity, to serve humanity. Wow, I feel like I'm preaching. All right, let me stand up. Let me stop right now. And I'd love to get from you, what is your standout moment for today? I'd love to hear it. Send me your feedback at henikawatkisporter@gmail.com. or on social media at Henicle Watkins Sporting. Remember to follow this podcast on your favorite podcast app, whether it's Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Apple, you name it. You know, just whichever app is your go-to for listening to podcasts, then connect with me. Subscribe to The Entrepreneurial You. Follow The Entrepreneurial You. And if you want, again, to learn more about podcasting, want me to coach you, want me to do a workshop, to get my book or anything like that, go to henicawatkinsporting.com.